And so I'm going to take you through a tour of some of these memorials, what they're for, and the reasons why they were built, what they were meant to cause you to remember. And then we're going to try to apply this to our daily walks and see how we can build our own memorials. So the first one we're going to remember is commitments. So we're going to turn to Genesis 31, 44. This first one is about Jacob and Laban. After Jacob stole Esau's birthright, he fled to his relatives, his mother's relatives. And there he met Rachel. He fell in love with Rachel. And Laban, the father-in-law, tricked him into serving for 7 years. And then he married Leah, the daughter he didn't want. So he had to serve another 7 years for Rachel. And then he served many more years for flocks and things like that. At some point, though, he gets tired of all of Laban's deception. And so unannounced, one night, they just pack up the kids, pack up the livestock, and they get out of there. They flee from Laban. And so Laban finds out, and he rides after him. And he's obviously very angry, and he thinks that everything's been stolen from him, including his household gods. And then we pick up, they have an argument, and then Jacob decides he's going on, and Laban realizes he's serious and can't really do anything about it. But they come together here in Genesis 31, and let's read through it real quick. Come now, let us make a covenant, you and I, and let it be a witness between you and me. So Jacob took a stone and set it up as a pillar. And Jacob said to his kinsmen, gather stones. And they took the stones and made a heap, and they ate there at the heap. And then skip into verse 48. Laban said, this is a heap, a witness between you and me. Therefore, he named it Gilead and Mizpah. For he had said, the Lord watch between you and me. When we are out of one another's sight, if you oppress my daughters, or if you take wives besides my daughters, although no one is with us, see, God is witness between you and me. And so this is a memorial that they're building up for their agreement. It's really kind of a memorial to their disagreement. Laban's saying, God is going to watch you even when I can't. You need to treat my daughters right, and you better not marry anybody else. And so they build this up, and so anytime they come across it in their travels, they can look back and remember what it was all about. Unfortunately, it probably brings up the bad memories, but it was built as an agreement, as to solidify, and as a memorial to what they agreed upon. The next one, we're going to move over to Joshua 22:10. And I got to give you a little bit of the backstory here. The 12 tribes of Israel wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And as they're getting ready to cross over into the promised land, cross over the Jordan River, two of the tribes, Reuben, Gad, and then the half of the tribe of Manasseh, they see all this beautiful pasture land right on the other side of the Jordan, outside the promised land. And they say, we want to stay here. We want to put our livestock here. And the rest of the tribes are like, hey, you got to come over and battle and drive out the inhabitants. And they say, yes, we'll commit to going with you. We'll leave our wives and our children, our livestock here. And then we'll go and we'll battle and we'll fight. And then when we're done, we're going to go back and live in this area. So where we're going to pick up, they've already driven out the inhabitants as much as Israel ever ended up driving out the inhabitants. And so Joshua agrees that, yes, you guys have met your agreement, and now you guys can go back. And so as they're walking, as they're hiking back across Israel, and they're just at the Jordan, so they're going to cross back over out of the promised land into the land where they wanted. We come up on Joshua 22 here. So let's read that real quick. And when they came to the region of the Jordan, that is in the land of Canaan, the people of Reuben and the people of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh built there an altar by the Jordan, an altar of imposing size. And the people of Israel heard it and said, behold, the people of Reuben and the people of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh have built an altar at the frontier of the land of Canaan in the region of the Jordan on the side that belongs to the people of Israel. And so at first, the other tribes start to get mad at them because they think they're building this altar and they're going to turn their backs on God. And so they're ready to go to battle. It's like, 'cause they've been fighting and that's what they're used to. But then the other two and a half tribes are like, just settle. You know, we're building this so that you guys will remember the commitment we made, that we held our end of the bargain, that we did what we said. We came over, we fought, we cleared the land, and this is to remind you of that. And it's also to remind you so that when we want to come back into the promised land, you don't look at us and say, hey, you didn't want to be here. They fought for this land, and this was a memorial to remind everyone, the two and a half tribes and the rest of them, that one, the commitment was made, and two, that this is still our land even though we're not living in it. So the first thing we need to just remember is that we can build memorials to agreements or commitments that we've made. The second one is to remember repentance from sin. And we're going to be in 2 Samuel 24, 24. This one's about David. And David, he was an awesome guy. He was called a man after God's own heart. But he also had some major mistakes. And this is one of his major mistakes, although probably not, he's not as famous for this one as some of his others. Near the end of his reign, David gets proud of himself. He starts to feel self-sufficient, like maybe he doesn't need God. So he gets this idea in his head that he wants to take a census so that he can see how strong his army is. He doesn't need God anymore. He's strong on his own. And because of this pride that was on display, God called him on it. And not only did he have to pay, but it was to God, it was such a grievous mistake that he said, your whole nation is going to pay for this arrogance you're displaying. And so he gives him three choices. He can have 3 years of famine, or he can run from his enemies for 3 months, or he can have 3 days of pestilence. So David doesn't think long on this one. He knows that the best place to be is in the mercy of God. So he throws himself at the mercy of God and decides the 3 days of pestilence are the best way to go, because of all of the three, God maybe will be merciful and maybe only give me 1.5 days of pestilence. At least that's his hope. So he chooses the 3 days, and the angel of the Lord, it says, goes throughout Israel, and he's just killing and killing and killing. 70,000 men die as punishment. And then at some point, God does become merciful, and he tells the angel of the Lord, stop. We've killed enough. And the place that he stopped was this place called Araunah's threshing floor. And David got it by now. He realized he blew it. And so he was ready to build an altar to thank God for his mercy, to forgive, to ask for forgiveness. And so we pick up in 2 Samuel 24. Did I say second last time? Araunah, this guy whose threshold it was, this is where he was threshing out the wheat. He says, David, here's the land, here's the wood, here's some oxen, you can make your altar right here. And David, one of David's famous sayings is going to come up here, so let's read. But the king said to Araunah, no, I will not buy it from you. No, I will buy it from you for a price. I will not offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God that cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord responded to the plea for the land, and the plague was averted from Israel. The rest of the plague, because obviously 70,000 had already died. So we need to, second reason we need to have memorials, we need to be reminded of when we've blown it. Not so that we can dwell on it, but so we can remember the cost that was paid because of the sin. Even when we're forgiven, there's still costs and consequences. And so this is to remind us of those. So that's the second reason. The third reason we want to remember, we want to build up memorials, is to remember God's protection and God's blessing. and we're going to be in Genesis 8:20. Here a couple weeks ago, the men started back in Genesis with the chapter of the day. So each day we go through a chapter and we read it. And so right now, we just got done talking about Noah. And, you know, I don't need to give you a backstory on Noah. I think we all know that. Noah's family and he were saved in the ark. But everyone else is wiped out. It's just gone. Everything that's not in the ark dies. And Noah spends a year in this ark. He was protected from the flood, but this isn't like he was on a carnival cruise, right? He's in there for a year. He's feeding and shoveling dung and for a year. And with his family. So you're stuck like in an RV with your family for a year. So it's got to have been exhausting. The flood slowly subsides, and he's throwing out the birds and checking, and eventually God says, okay, you can go out. So he recognizes he's exhausted. What's the first thing he does? He builds an altar. He thanks God for the protection. Even though God protects us, there's still work involved, and we should still, the first thing our impulse should be is to be thankful for it, to remember the protection and blessing of the Lord. So let's read verse 8:20. Then the Lord built an altar to the Lord. Then Noah built the altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man. For the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. So as soon as the altar is created, he puts the meat on there and the Lord smells the barbecue. It's a sweet-smelling aroma to God. And God's response immediately in return is to give him more blessing and more promise. And so if you flip on quick over to Genesis 9:12. Well, we can pick up there. And God said, this is a sign of the covenant that I make between you, between me and you, and every living creature that is with you for all the generations. I have set a bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you, and every living creature of all the flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every creature of all the flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, this is a sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all the flesh on the earth. So as memorials go, I think that's probably the best one. And every time it rains and the sun comes out afterwards, we all get to see that amazing display. And just realize that for Noah, it didn't rain before the flood. So this is the first time they're seeing rain. This is the first time they're seeing a rainbow. And this is, every time they see it, they're going to remember of God's promise. It's amazing. So we need to remember our victories, we need to remember our blessings. We get on our knees, we list out our requests to God. We're desperate sometimes, and God, we need him to move. We need him to do something for us. And then he does, right? The problem is solved, or the check comes in the mail. You know, somebody is healed. And we're thankful, and then we move on. But we need to stop and remember all of the things that God has done for us over the years. And as I was writing this message, it's just amazing how much my faith gets increased when you just stop and you step back and you look at what God has done. And the last thing I want to point out as far as memorials and remembering is his sacrifice. And we're going to eventually be in Genesis 22:9. So from the beginning, before creation, before the fall, God had a plan in place to redeem all of us. And Memorial Day is the day we remember casualties. It's the day we remember those who lost their lives for our freedom. But Good Friday is really our spiritual Memorial Day. That's the day where the ultimate sacrifice was paid for each of us, so that we could have the freedom from sin and from eternal death. And I'll pick up on that later. But God gave us a picture of that through the story of Abraham and Isaac. So let's read that in Genesis 22:9. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. So this is a picture right at the beginning of the Bible of the stakes, what God was planning on doing, what God is willing to do as God the Father, sending his only son as a sacrifice in place of us. Jesus paying the debt we owed, because we owed a debt we couldn't pay. So we need to have ways to remember. We need to have ways to remember our promises. We need to have ways to remember our mistakes and learn from them and not repeat them. We need to remember our blessings. We need to remember a sacrifice that's been paid for us. And so how do we do that? We do that by building our own memorials. Eventually we're going to be in Joshua 4:2. We need to build these memorials. We need to pass on to those who come after us the impact of what God has done in our lives, the significant events. Because as we all know, they fade from memory, and they fade from memory a lot quicker than we think they should. Or they would. Put up against the day-to-day hustle and bustle, the daily grind of life, all of the important events, all of the things that God does for us, they kind of fade from our reality if we don't keep them front and center. And the Lord knows his people are forgetful. And so we're going to go back to the time when the 12 tribes are just coming out of the 40 years of wandering, what he asked them to do so that they can remember all of this. They can remember the miracles from the Exodus, the miracles of being fed in the wilderness. For 40 years they were fed, mostly with manna, but sometimes with quail falling from the skies. There was just amazing things that were happening, and God knew they were going to forget. So the Lord says to Joshua, Joshua 4:2, take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, Take 12 stones from here in the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, each man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that it may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, What do those stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. So, you know, there's a million people in the 12 tribes of Israel that are going to be crossing over the Jordan. And they, at this point, they were doing the right thing. The Levites had the ark, and they, you know, you've seen it from Raiders of the Lost Ark. Just two in front, two in back, right? And as soon as the Levite's foot touches the Jordan, you know, it parts, and they're going to walk through on dry land just like they did with the Red Sea. And so the instructions were the Levites would stand there. They probably had to stand there all day because there's a million people they got to go through. And so as they're standing there, these 12 people were appointed to take rocks. So it says put them on your shoulder. So they're talking about big rocks from the bottom of the Jordan, the dry Jordan that they're walking through. Put them on their shoulder, and then they're going to go stack them in a pile, and this is going to be their memorial. These came from the bottom of the Jordan when it was dry, when we came into the promised land. So that when the children ask, what does that pile of stones mean? They can tell them. Exactly what God wants is for us to be able to remember and pass on to our children the things that happen in our life. So we need to make our own memorials. We need to make our own altars, but not necessarily of wood and stone, you know, but out of our daily lives, how we live, what we stand for. Romans 12:1-2. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So we are to live our lives as living sacrifices, living altars, living memorials. So the main problem with the living sacrifice, does anyone know what the main problem with the living sacrifice? It crawls off the altar. It's hard to stay up there on the altar. It's hard to just lay there and give up yourself, to die to self, to live solely for Jesus. But that's the calling that we've all been given, who have chosen Jesus as our Lord. And so the question is, will we answer the call? We've been given these stones of all kinds of sizes to make our own memorials. Trials and blessings, relationships, positive and negative, they all go on the altar. They all go on your memorial. You use them to tell others of the amazing things that God has done in your life. What he's done in your life, how he's brought you through. So as I'm writing this, I get to this part here, and I'm like, man, it would be really great if I just had some amazing things God had done in my life. Because I've forgotten too, right? But this is, you know, so I actually, that's where I stopped for the night. I don't know where I'm going with this. Close the book. And so then, as I'm praying and praying in the next couple days, the Lord starts to remind me of my stones. I'll try to get through it. Wasn't supposed to get hard at this part. So, the first one that came to mind was Darcy is up on one floor of a hospital, just having had emergency appendectomy. And Hannah is on another floor of the same hospital, trying to breathe because she has aspiration pneumonia because she can't swallow liquids right, and so she's always choking and choking, and then she gets pneumonia. So God brought us through that and strengthened us. And there's a little things like the relationships that are involved. A good friend who brings me Del Taco in the waiting room and waits with me and prays with me. That's a stone that goes on there, right? And our amazing family who surrounded us through this whole time. And so he was there with us when Hannah ended up in the hospital two more times. So by that time, she was in there at 2 months old and 3 months old, 4 months old. And because she can't swallow and she keeps ending up back there. And the Lord was there. The Lord was in control. The Lord provided for us when I lost my job between the second and the third hospital stays. We believe that the Lord sent us this special nurse who told us, I think it was on our third hospital stay, that you should mix this stuff that we give to our stroke patients with Hannah's formula, because you know, stroke patients, they also can't swallow. So for the next, I don't know, 6 months, we mix that formula with this stuff, and it thickens it up, so she's like drinking glue. But she doesn't end up back in the hospital, so praise the Lord. Otherwise, we would have probably been there every month as it goes. So we thank the Lord for that, and that's a stone that goes on the altar. So we're building, you know, we got our stack going here. It's getting kind of high. All nice and neat, because I'm OCD. And then it comes as quite a surprise. Darcy becomes pregnant again. And it was a surprise because it was kind of, we had some challenges getting pregnant with Hannah. So it was blessing, and we're excited, and we're praying. And, you know, as we're hoping, as all parents with expectant kids do, that your baby's going to be normal. But God didn't have that plan for us. So during the C-section, the doctor pulls Rachel out and just announces, kind of just deadpan nonchalant, baby has a cleft lip. And so everybody just goes into hyper mode, and they drag her over this table and they start assessing her. But for me, time just stops. I'm standing there next to Darcy. Darcy's in and out because of the drugs. And so I'm sitting there, and I can see from a distance my daughter, and I'm just looking at her, and my brain is trying to figure out the little face, because your brain is wired to know two eyes, nose, mouth. And so when you see a baby with a cleft lip for the first time, there's, you know, two eyes, a nose that's sort of there, but kind of off to the side, this gigantic hole, and then her mouth. And so your brain is just sitting there, and it's wrong. Your brain doesn't compute it. And this is my baby. And so it's just wrong. And this stone is like big, too big. I can't carry it. And I'm going, God, it doesn't even fit on this altar anymore. It doesn't fit there. And I'm like, God, you got it wrong. This is wrong. And so looking back on it now, you know, I can see what God was doing, what the Lord was saying. He's going, look, son, yes, doesn't fit over here in your neat little pile. This is a new one. This is a new work. This is a foundation stone for a completely different memorial, completely different work that is now going to start happening. So foundation stones, you know. He looks at us and he says, wait and see what I'm going to do. I'm going to be your strength. I'll be strong for you guys. And for your family. And he was. And he got us through, I don't know, 5 surgeries and countless doctors' visits. And we're stacking up our new stones over here and praising the Lord the whole time for our family and our friends and for our faith. And we're looking for ways that we can make meaning out of. It was still hard to go through, don't get me wrong. A lot of questions and a lot of searching. But God tells us that he can use your discomfort, he can use your suffering to benefit other people. And in 2 Corinthians 1:4, he says, the Lord who comforts us all in our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So we look for opportunities about how we can share our faith, share how God has worked through us. And then as you see Rachel bouncing around here, she's just wild and amazing, and we love her. And so her alone kind of radiates that. Go ahead, world. Look out, here I come. So we're very blessed by her. By what God's doing there, and obviously he's not done. You get teenagers and And I think you get a new foundation stone for each teenager. So ours is being shipped to us right now for Hannah. So there's a constant work. But the point there is that make sure that you make them count, that you remember them, you look back and get the positive things out of it. So the first way you can build a memorial is with your life, how you live, what's important. Second is your marriage. Proverbs 5:18. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice in the wife of your youth. So this is mainly for the guys, obviously. And we, I think, as a subgroup of humans, are especially forgetful. And so I want you just to, right now, bring to mind those of you who are married, whether it's been years ago or decades ago. Remember how the Lord blessed you with your wife. That special woman that he chose for you. You need to bring that back into your remembrance and remember where you started and where you're going. And ladies, it's the same. All the reasons you picked that guy, or God picked him, that you call your husband. So let our marriages be a memorial. We can tell the world and remind ourselves also of who's in charge and what's important. Husbands loving our wives in a way the world can't comprehend. We need to be the leaders in our home, but not lording it over our wives, but humbly serving them, declaring that Christ is our model and not the world. Wives who submit to their husbands. And this also the world can't comprehend. If, you know, wives who are spiritually, truly submitting to their husbands who are leading spiritually. And the world looks at it and goes, that doesn't make sense. But at the same time, I think it's still attractive when it's done according to the Bible. So we need to build up our marriages as examples of honor and integrity, of forgiveness, of agape love. The next way we can build a memorial is with our family. Joshua 24:15. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We can take a stand, declare it to the world. The way we raise our children, the way we relate to our parents, the way we relate to our family, they are all a memorial to what we believe and how we live our life. Each of our children, like I said, is a foundation stone that you're going to be heaping things on your whole life. And, you know, what's better, what's more powerful of a memorial than a life lived for God? So if we can get our children those little memorials, and then they can go off and make an impact in the world. Next up is your, as far as making a memorial, is your church and your service. So our commitment to service, our commitment to regular fellowship with other believers is a huge memorial to your friends and your family. It shows how you prioritize your life. It shows what you think is the most important. What do you clear your schedule for? You know, your family and your friends should know, if you want me to come to your party, if you want me to come to your sporting event, if you want me to come to any family function you're having, don't make it on a Sunday morning. I'm not going to be there. Our children should never have to ask, are we going to church today? Because they know, it's a foregone conclusion. This is who we are. This is what we do. Sunday is church day. Not just Sunday. And it's not just so that I can check off the box, went to church today. It's because we need to be here. We need to be among other fellowshipping believers. We need to have a desire to encourage others. And so we're not here just to receive. We're here to build up. And in while we are doing that, we will be built up in return. And that brings us the final memorial I wanted to talk about. And it's really the first memorial that all the other memorials are based upon. As I said before, our Memorial Day is when we remember the sacrifice that others paid, the ultimate sacrifice they paid for our country. And Good Friday is our spiritual Memorial Day. It's the day when the God-man, the Father's Son, came down and he laid his life down for you and for me so that we can have the hope of heaven. This is a holy and perfect God, all-powerful, all-knowing, taking this humiliating form of a human being. He living a sinless life, paying a hugely painful death for a price. He's paying the price for your sin. He's paying the price for my sin so that we can have the righteousness of God. And we don't deserve it. And there's no way we can do anything to gain it on our own. Our only requirement is that we recognize that day when he died and also the day he rose and believe in him and who he says he was in the Bible. That he paid his price for us and return, you know, repent from our sin and follow him. You know, if you ask any married person, I don't think you get one of them that wonders, am I married? Can't remember. Don't remember. It doesn't work like that. Why? Because they remember. I mean, it was a big ceremony in most cases, but if it wasn't a big ceremony, it was still a big decision. Life changes completely. One day, you're not married. The next day, you are married. You remember that commitment you made to your spouse. I can still remember my beautiful bride walking down the aisle. And you're sitting up there, knees knocking, waiting. You remember that. There's no question in your mind that you got married. So I want to ask you the same thing about your commitment to Jesus. Do you have that day in your life you can point to? That day you said, one day I don't trust you, the next day I do. Do you remember that first memorial you made? Do you remember the decision to turn from your sin? Follow the Lord. And the worship team can come up. I'm done. Do you remember? I forget all these details. Do you remember the decision to turn from sin to Jesus? Do you remember when you first committed your life to him? So if you do, praise the Lord. If you need to lay down a new foundation stone because you're the one kind of got knocked over and you need to start again, today is a good day to do that, and however you choose to make your memorial. But if you have not chosen him, if you can't point to that day, Pastor Rawl and the rest of us elders will be up front. Come up here and make today the day you make a memorial. And God bless you guys. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you again. We thank you for your word, so we can get to know you better, know who you are, know what you've done, know the sacrifices you've made. Lord, we ask that you would ignite a fire in each one of us, Lord, to live our lives for you, memorials to you, Lord. Lord, that we take each stone as you give it to us, Lord, looking for your will and your purpose and that it be done, Lord. We thank you for your strength. We thank you for your grace and mercy through each trial, each blessing, and all the protection, Lord. We ask for your strength to do your work. And we commit this day to you and our lives to you, Lord. And we just thank you and praise you, Father. And pray these things in Jesus' name.